Bible, if you would please, this morning turn to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, once again, chapter number 5. For several weeks now, we've been looking here at the Beatitudes, at the Sermon on the Mount, and we're talking about simply being happy, being a happy Christian. And certainly we ought to be, as we've said so many times, for those that do know Christ as Savior, we ought to be the happiest people, certainly in all this world. And here Jesus gives some things here in these Beatitudes that certainly challenges each of us to think about, certainly not the physical aspect of our lives, but certainly more so the spiritual aspects, certainly of our life, and how that we can be happy, and how that we need Him. If we're going to be happy, then truly today we need to know Him, and we need to certainly submit and surrender our lives to His will and to His word and to His way if we're going to be a happy people. And certainly, again, we should be that today. I want to look in verse number 8 this morning for just a few moments. I realize it's going to be a busy day, a busy week for us here at the church, but I do pray that through all of it that God will do something certainly wonderful in our hearts and our lives. And certainly we need revival, and I'm praying for that. I hope you are as well. And I'm praying that God will begin to work in our hearts and our lives in a very special way today through the preaching of His Word. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God, if you're able to stand. And certainly this morning, if you're not, that's okay. I want to look this morning at a thought and bring before you hearing today, as far as the title is concerned, or a thought here out of verse number 8 of Matthew chapter number 5. Happy are the pure in heart. Happy are the pure in heart. Now, I want you to think about that. Verse number 8, very simple this morning. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. May the Lord add His richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in Your presence once again today, Father, to thank You, Father, for this day, to thank You for Your blessings, to thank You for health and strength and salvation, and, Lord, just the opportunity and privilege to be able to gather Your house this morning, Lord, among Your people. And, Lord, we thank You for this good number that, Lord, have chosen, Lord, to come this way today. And, Father, I thank You for the teaching of the Word of God. Lord, I thank You for today, Lord, the wonderful singing, and, Lord, for the precious Word of God. Now I pray, Lord, as I stand, Father, in this place, I realize today that, Father, I stand, Lord, in a place where no man can stand alone and accomplish, Father, the will of God today. Lord, I pray, Father, for that fresh anointing, for fresh oil today. Lord, I pray that You'd anoint my heart, my mind, and my mouth. Lord, as I stand in this place, Lord, You give me, Lord, clarity of mind and clarity of speech of those sayings that, Lord, You've brought to my attention, Father, for this very message, for this very day. And then, Lord, I pray that, Lord, as the Word of God goes out as a message, goes out this morning among this congregation, I pray, Lord, that our ears and our hearts will be open, Father, and attentive, Father, to that which You have for us here today. Lord, especially to that one that could be here today that has never trusted You as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that, Lord, today that the Holy Spirit of God will convict them and draw them. And, Lord, this very day they'd come and repent and receive You into their heart and their life. And then, Lord, for those that could be here today cold, Lord, indifferent, out of the will of God, Lord, I don't know the need, but, Father, I'm so glad, Lord, that You know our needs, and I'm glad You're able to meet them. I just pray that, God, that You would anoint this service again with Your hand. And I pray, Father, today You'd do that work among us, Lord, that only You can do. And, Lord, I can. I pray, help us that we'd be submissive and obedient to You. Bless us now today. Lord, tonight and this week, Lord, You stay coming. Lord, I pray that You just work among us, Lord, in these days. May our hearts be revived and stirred. And, Lord, may we be challenged now in these days. Lord, we love You. We thank You for loving us. Bless our time together now. In Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God for a few moments this morning as we continue our study here on the Beatitudes, and simply again being happy. And we see this morning again, happy are the pure in heart. As I begin to study and as I begin to think about the thought that lies before us, and on Wednesday night we looked at blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, and certainly all these that we've talked about as far as happiness is concerned. And we see that certainly for those today, we see that there comes with all these things that Jesus relays to us through these Beatitudes, that certainly we see that there comes a promise, not only happiness here, but also very many different promises throughout the process of these Beatitudes. And certainly as we come here to verse number 8 of chapter 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And what a great thought that is before us here this morning. And so I want us to think about that today. Are you truly living out a happy life? Are you happy in your heart, joyful in your heart this morning as far as the spiritual speaking is concerned? Are you truly happy today? And certainly if we are here, if we're pure in heart today, then we have a promise here that we shall see God. We'll get into that in just a few moments. But as I begin to prepare and think about it, I thought about it. Unfortunately, we're certainly living in a time today where we see a lot of sadness certainly in the hearts and lives of so many people around us here. But here again, Jesus gives us the remedy for those who truly want to be happy and hopeful even for their future. Oh, that today each person here this morning would so desire for Christ to work in our hearts and our lives, to believe and trust Him and yield ourselves this morning unto His way and unto His Word. Friend, if you want to be happy today and truly happy in your heart and in your life, then I truly believe we must yield ourselves to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we've said through all this study of the Beatitudes, and here He gives us, happy are those that are pure in heart. That word pure this morning in heart simply means clean, to be clean. Psalms 24 verses 4 and 5. Let me give you these verses of Scripture this morning, and then I'm going to give you the three thoughts that God's placed upon my heart for this hour. Psalms 24, 4 and 5, the Bible says, verse 4, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Verse 5 comes with a promise, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So this morning, I truly believe today for those that want to have a clean heart, a pure heart before certainly a holy God today, then certainly He's given us some promises. And listen, not only the two that we have before us here in the text, but listen again to think about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and I on the cross of Calvary, what He done there 2,000 plus years ago, and our acceptance of that into our hearts, Him as our personal Lord and Savior. Listen this morning. That ought to make us happy just to think about that when we're so undeserving of that this morning. But I begin to think about three things about this thought about being pure in heart here this morning, or happy are the pure in heart. The first thing that I thought about is, first of all, is our dilemma. Our dilemma. And I want you to think about that for just a moment. Friend, in the natural state, if you're here today without the person of Christ in your heart, in your life, receiving Him as your personal Lord and Savior, then there's no possible way that you and I can be pure in heart. In other words, we can't have a clean heart before God without the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're trying to do that some other way, I can promise you, you're going to come up short. I'm afraid so many people today, I think that they can clean up the outside and show forth a smile once in a while, and clean up the outside and try to make it look good. I come to church once in a while and maybe give a little or do a little. But friend, I'm going to tell you what, that will not cleanse, that will not take care of the dilemma and the problem that each of us have here this morning, and it's called a sin problem. And we've talked about that through preaching here in these Beatitudes. And so this morning, I want us to realize there is a dilemma for those today that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in a free pardon of sin. And one day, friend, won't you remember back to the day that you was in that same dilemma, that you was away from God. I'm telling you this morning, I'm glad for the day, hallelujah, that God knocked on my heart's door and let me know, hallelujah, that I needed a Savior, and that Savior was none other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that man would wake up today and realize, hallelujah, that he needs God. Oh, friend, this morning, your greatest need today If you do not know Christ as Savior, your greatest need this morning, hallelujah, is to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm not talking about next week. I'm not talking about next year. I'm talking about today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Why? Because mankind is in a dilemma this morning, my friend. No wonder there's so much sadness. No wonder there's so much sorrow. No wonder there's so many broken homes. No wonder there's so many broken lives. Oh, my friend, if you want to be happy, get your heart clean before God this morning. Let God do a washing in your soul today. Oh, my friend, you can go out of here happy and rejoicing in the things of Almighty God. If you just let God do that washing, that only God can do this morning, my friend. And could I say, even those today that could be here saved, and you've let things come in your heart and your life that you know God's not pleased with, and you want to have revival, and you want to see the moving of God, and you want to get a prayer through, let's get our hearts clean before God this morning. If we want to see God do something before us in these days. Happy are the pure in heart. This morning there's a dilemma. A dilemma this morning is defined as a situation in which a difficult choice has to be made between two or more alternatives. That's a dilemma. And that's what so many people are in today. They are in the dilemma of making the choice. Are they going to give their heart and their life to Christ and follow Him and let Him cleanse their heart and cleanse their life and use them? Or they are in the dilemma or the choice of rejecting Him and pushing Him away and continuing to go in the direction that they're going in. That's the dilemma this morning. There is a choice to be made. And friend, again, it's the greatest choice that you will ever make in your life. The greatest choice, and I realize salvation this morning is more than a choice. I realize today that God has to be working on the other side. But listen to me, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's continually working. God's continually trying to show you. God's continually knocking on your heart's door, giving you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get things right. And yet you reject Him and you push Him away. Oh, God, help us this morning. God, help us this morning that we just fall upon bended knee and let God do that work that only He can do in our hearts and our lives here this morning. Because there is a dilemma. Our dilemma this morning. I thought about a couple of things about our dilemma. First of all, one of the dilemmas is our own self-will. Our sin nature, our desires of the flesh. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, and verse number 3. The Bible says there, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling, notice now, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But it then also goes on in verse number 4 and says, but God also who is rich in mercy, for with His love, His great love, wherewith He has loved us. I'm telling you this morning, friend, you don't have to go around carrying that burden of sin. You don't have to go around carrying that burden of shame. You don't have to go around being separated from an all-loving, mighty God this morning. Friend, He's made a way, and that way is through His darling Son, the Lord Jesus. Oh, there's a dilemma. Don't let your own self-will, own selfish ways, your own sinful desires keep you this morning from coming and let God doing a washing in your heart and in your life this morning. Oh, there's a dilemma. There's a dilemma. There's a dilemma. But I'm glad there is an answer this morning. And His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a dilemma. There's that dilemma of our own self-will. There's, no, I thought about not only the dilemma of our own self-will, but I thought about the dilemma of our own wages. Oh, I love the verse of Scripture. I believe I might have made even reference to it on Wednesday night in the service of Romans in chapter number 6 and verse number 23. For the wages of sin is death. Not only do we have the dilemma of our own self-will, and I realize this overlaps, but I feel like that I must address it this morning. For some reason, some people today feel like that because God is love, and God is love, and thank God He is, if He weren't, we'd be in trouble. But simply because that God is a God of love, that there will never be no repercussions, no consequences for our sin, for our rejection, for our failure to submit and surrender ourselves to His Word. Listen, friend, I'm telling you, we're living in a time where no one thinks that there's no consequences for their actions. But could I say there's nothing further from the truth? I just thank God that we serve a long-suffering and merciful God today. And He gives opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, change after change. He keeps calling. He keeps bidding. He keeps warning. But friend, if you continue to go like you're going this morning, then friend, one day you're going to be very, very disappointed in the consequences and the outcome of your life and your own self-will and your own wages. Wages is something that you earn. The Bible says, for we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us. That's the dilemma. That's the dilemma. Our wages, what we've earned, what we deserve, hallelujah, is the judgment of God. But hallelujah for the grace and the mercy of Almighty God this morning, my friend. Oh, my soul, we ought not to turn that away. Friend, you ought not to turn that away today. You ought to run to Him, not run from Him. But I'll tell you tonight, there's a dilemma. There's a decision to be made. And I'll tell you what that dilemma is: our own self-will, our own sin nature, the desires of the flesh. And that what that's brought about is our own wages. For the wages of sin is death. We don't like to talk about death. We don't like to think about death. But just as we've made reference to so many times, back into the book of Genesis, into the book of beginnings, Adam and Eve was there in the perfect surroundings, there in the Garden of Eden, and God gives them one rule and says that if they break that rule, the day that they sin, they shall surely die. And just as they didn't take that into consideration through the process, many people today are not taking into consideration the thing of death. Now, there's the separation that we can have. Now, no wonder people are going around so sad. No wonder today people are searching. Because I'll tell you what, the things of the flesh, the wages that we earn, will not fulfill the desires of our heart. Amen. Young people, I don't know what you're searching for this morning, what you're looking for. But I'm going to tell you something, nothing this morning, nothing will fill the desire of your heart this morning that God has that place in your heart that only He can fill. I'm telling you today, friend, thank God we ought to just turn it over to Him. We ought to give it to Him. We ought to yield it to Him this morning, friend, because our wages brings about death. Death brings about separation. Separation now, not only separation now, but separation for all eternity. Think about that. Happy. Now, let's look at this thing as we evaluate it. Jesus says, I can be happy. I can be happy. And you can be happy. Or we can go around sad, defeated, miserable, joyless, no real joy about our lives, or we can be happy. Now, it's amazing to me that there's even a dilemma, but there is, because there is that spiritual warfare that's going on in our hearts and our lives among every one of us here today. There's that spiritual warfare that's taking place. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. I don't have any problems with spiritual warfare. I'd like to talk to you after the service. I mean, you might ought to write a book. You could get rich. Because I can promise you there is that spiritual warfare that's going on even in the life of those that are saved and redeemed by the good grace of God. We just need to keep our hearts clean before God this morning that we can be effective and joyful and that we can have a witness about us and tell others about Him that they might want Him as their Savior as well. Listen to me this morning. There is a dilemma. That dilemma is our own self-will. That dilemma this morning is our own wages, that which we have earned today. The problem with our society today, it teaches too many people there's no consequences to your actions. But again, nothing can be farther from the truth. You might be sitting there this morning and you've got this thought going through your mind. I've got away with it so far. Now, I don't know why the Holy Spirit just had me to say that, but somebody's sitting right here this morning in this congregation. Preacher, don't you love us? I love you today more than that God loves you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. But you got this little thought going through your mind. I've got away with it so far. And listen, you can get away with it for a little while maybe. But there is a verse of Scripture that says something like this. Be sure your sin will find you out. It will hunt you down. It will be brought to the light because there's nothing that's hidden from our God today. You can hide it from mom and daddy. You can hide it from the spouse. You can hide it from the preacher. You can hide it from the Sunday school teacher. You can hide it from the church. But you can't hide it. You can't hide it from God Himself this morning. He already knows all about us. And Lord, I'll tell you what, here's the great thing. He knows us, but He loves us anyhow. Oh, I don't understand it. I can't explain it. But hallelujah. Boy, what a Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior. There's a dilemma. There's a dilemma. What you going to do about your dilemma this morning? There's the dilemma of the self-will. There's the dilemma of the wages in which we have earned. For the wages of sin is death. Now, I'm not done with that verse of Scripture yet. I'll get back to it. Because there's a heavenly conjunction within that verse of Scripture that I don't want you to miss. But we're talking about the dilemma right now. Do you understand that I have family members and you have family members and maybe even yourself this morning? You're in a dilemma. You're in that place that you have a decision, a choice to make within two avenues in which to go. You can choose to have a happy, productive life, or you can choose to go the way you're going and be miserable, be sad, discontented. And then the end result of that is, now let me say this, everybody's going to see God one day. But I want to see Him like Jesus is talking about, and not in judgment. So there's a dilemma. There's a dilemma of our own self-will. There's a dilemma of our own wages. And thirdly, there's the dilemma of the wickedness of our own natural hearts. According to Jeremiah 17:9. What did Jeremiah say about our hearts? That they were desperately wicked. That's the natural heart. Friend, you can't help it. You inherited it. Preacher, I'm not all that bad. I've not killed anybody. But we're all sinners. You cannot cleanse your heart on your own. You can dress up a pig. You can put him in a suit. And people actually do that. Isn't that something? I like to dress mine, praise God, in the frying pan. Hey, man, hallelujah. You can dress up a pig, you can put lipstick on, but you know what you got at the end of the day? You still got a pig. Somebody in here is dressing up a pig. I swear I'm going to get it after the service. Brother Grady, we dress them up. We put them in the pot. Amen. But there's a dilemma. You can't rescue yourself. You can't save yourself. You can't clean yourself up. God's a holy God. He couldn't even look. Why did he have to turn his back on his darling son at the cross of Calvary? Because he took our sin and he took my sin and your sin and the sin of the world, and he nailed it to a cross. And God the Father had to turn his back for a few moments there upon the cross of Calvary because he can't even look upon sin today. But yet, it's amazing every time I preach, every time you're in a service and you know there's things not right in your life, you're in that dilemma of doing something about it. And so many times you turn and walk away when God is saying, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden in labor, and I'll give you rest. Thank God for the rest and the peace that God can and will give today. But there's a dilemma of our own self-will, of our own wages, of the wickedness of our own natural hearts. So we have before us a dilemma. A dilemma. But secondly, I don't want to leave you in the dilemma, because there's a way out of the dilemma. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that there was a way out of the dilemma that I was in. I'm glad that morning, I had rejected it. I turned away from it. I'd walked away from it. But I'm glad there was a Sunday morning that I got tired of the life I was living. I got tired of wearing where I was going to spend eternity. I didn't want to die and have to go to hell. I'm glad, thank God, somebody let me know that I didn't have to. I'm glad there was a Sunday morning I stepped out by faith. I made my way to Calvary. I'm glad God solved my dilemma. Hallelujah. Because not only is there a dilemma, but the second, I want you to see God's divine intervention. God intervened. For the wages of sin is death. If that's all that we had to go on, we could pack it up and go home, because there'd be no hope for us. That verse goes on and lets us know something else. That not only is there a dilemma, but there's divine intervention. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God for God's divine intervention. I'm glad God butted into my life. Oh, so many people say, it's my life, let me live it like I want to. I'm glad somebody butted into my life. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'll tell you what, moms and dads, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyhow. Sometimes you need to butt in to your little Johnny or little Susie's life. Amen. Hallelujah. Because sometimes we need our life butted in too. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, thank God that sometimes you need to butt into their life. But I'm glad even more than that, God butted into my life and let me know the dilemma that I was in. And His way was the way of rescue for my soul. God's divine intervention, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How do we get to the place? How do we get to the place of solving this dilemma, even though of God's divine intervention? Well, I like what David said in the 51st Psalm. And I don't have time to cover this whole psalm. You can go and read it when you get a chance. But it's a wonderful psalm. David's been caught up with. David knows he's guilty before God. David has an old black sinful heart before God. He'd messed up. Now what's he going to do? He's in a dilemma. I'm talking about a man that one time was after God's own heart. Don't tell me you can't mess up. Don't tell me you can keep, even after you're saved, you can keep your heart clean and right without God. Friend, you can't do it. Boy, I love this 51st Psalm. I'll tell you what will get you out of the dilemma you're in this morning. Get that heart clean. Notice what David says. Verse number 2 of chapter 50, or the 51st Psalm. He says, wash me thoroughly. Oh, my soul. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Oh, it's amazing how this just goes right along with the Sunday school lesson out of the book of Joel this morning, isn't it? Aren't you glad for a God that can and will cleanse us if we'll just call on Him? Hallelujah this morning, friend. I'll tell you what you need to see this morning. You need to see your need today, my friend. David saw his need. He had to be reminded. Somebody had to butt into his life. Old Nathan the prophet comes along and says, "You're the man. Go back and study it." David has to come to the place. He's in a dilemma. His own self-will, his own wages, and the wickedness of his own heart's got him in trouble. What's he going to do? Well, God, in His divine intervention, butts in. But then I love Psalms 51:10. And David says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." That'll get you out of that dilemma that you're in this morning, friend. What's he saying? "God, I want you to do that work in my heart that only you can do." And God can, and God will, if you'll let Him. I think about the life of David and how miserable he must have been. Yes, he's still king of Israel. Yes, he's still got all those people around him, but yet within his heart, he was miserable. A lot of folks today, even though they may be saved, simply because of something they've allowed to come into their life, and they're not really happy like they could be today. See, this is a continual process. Yes, He cleanses our hearts and saves us, and we only have to be saved one time. Thank God for that. But there needs to be a continual renewing of our hearts, and especially our minds. "Create in me a clean heart, O God." We see that there's a dilemma. We see this morning of God's divine intervention. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Have you ever seen saved people didn't have the right spirit? Has there been times in your life when you've not had the right spirit? Hey, man, some of you looking at me, I kind of like a calf staring at a new gate, but you know just exactly what I'm talking about. Thank God for God's divine intervention. God's not trying to push us away. God's not trying to deny you access this morning. God's saying, "Come." But He's saying, "Come my way, not yours." David got to the place that he came God's way. Friend, you'll never get any help from God till you come God's way. You can walk this aisle, 100 times. But you better come God's way. There was a brokenness in David's life as he come before God. Why? Because there was a dilemma. But thank God for God's divine intervention. Let me give you 3 things about God's divine intervention. I got one more point, and I'll soon let you go. Number one, in God's divine intervention, He paid the price. Somebody had to pay the price. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That word remission means forgiveness of sin. There's no hope for the cleansing of my heart and your heart without the shedding of blood. But I'm glad once and for all. Could I say it one more time? I'm glad once and for all. Thank God the precious Lord Jesus shed His precious pure blood on the cross of Calvary so that I could have a clean heart this morning. God's divine intervention, He paid the price. Secondly, not only did He pay the price, but I like this. He pursues the sinner. I mean, can anybody rejoice with me in the fact. Some of you looking a little bored. But is there anybody in here this morning that could rejoice with me for just a few moments of God's divine intervention of not only paying a price, but this morning of pursuing the sinner? I don't know about you, but he come looking for me. I wasn't necessarily looking for him on that Sunday morning. I'm just so glad he come looking for me, just as he come looking for David. When I mess up now, even as a Christian, even as a child of God this morning, I'm glad, thank God, he still comes by knocking on my old heart's door once in a while just to let me know that I'm his and he's mine and he's there. He knows all about it. And I'm telling you this morning, thank God, I'm glad he's still pursuing the sinner this morning. If he's not pursuing the sinner, then something's wrong. Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. His divine intervention. Oh, there's the dilemma, but there's divine intervention. He paid the price. He pursues the sinner. And then thirdly, he pardons all who will receive him. I won't have time to give you scripture references, all these I've got to get. But he pardons. You know what a pardon is, don't you? It means that everything that was done, everything that you was accused of, everything you was even guilty of, has been wiped clean. Somebody hold my mute while I shout a while. I hate to have to do my own preaching, my own shouting too. But if that be the case, a pardon simply means that there was charges, there was accusations, and there was actually things on there on my record. I'd sinned. Yes, there was wages. Yes, there was self-will. Yes, there was sin. But on that Sunday morning, as I made my way out and made my way to Calvary, you know what the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ did? It washed it all clean. Thank God when he looks at me this morning, he don't see my filthy, rotten sin. He don't see me, but he sees, hallelujah, the blood of the crucified one. Hallelujah. Thank God. When David said in the first 51st Psalm, cleanse me, wash me. I can identify with that, can't you? I mean, is there anybody here this morning for just another moment or two can identify with a day in your life when you was filthy, when you was sinful, when you had an old black heart, and thank God Jesus come along and gave you a pardon, washed your sin clean. Hallelujah. Thank God. Friend, he'll do the same for you. There's a dilemma. There's the divine intervention. That he paid the price, he pursues, and then he pardons. Thank God. The only way. I wrote this down, I underlined it, I put exclamation points around it, quotation marks, and anything else I could get around it. The only way to be pure in heart is through the blood of Jesus this morning. The only way. John tells him in John 15:3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. 1 John 1:7, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from what sin? All sin. That interests me. I don't know about you, but that interests me. From all sin. There's the dilemma. There is the intervention. God's intervention, divine intervention in that dilemma. Thirdly, this morning in closing. Not only the dilemma and God's divine intervention, but I want you to think about for me for just a moment in closing. The delight of the pure of heart. The delight of the pure heart. Notice he gives us reference to that in verse 8. for they shall see God. For they shall see God. Honey, that's the delight of the redeemed. Now let me give you a thought on that. Number one, right now we walk by faith. Correct? I've never seen him. But I believe him. I'm trusting him with my eternal soul this morning. And so I've never saw him here, but I do see him by the eye of faith. And let me explain. I know what he's done in my life. I'm glad that I can see that God has worked in my life. I wonder, could I get a witness of anybody else in here this morning that would just want to raise their hand to heaven, lift their hand to heaven, and say, boy, I'm sure glad, even though I'm walking by faith, I've never saw him with my physical eye, but I'm trusting him by faith today. I know that God has done a work in my life. Oh, hallelujah today. Aren't you glad that you can see the evidence of the working of God all around us this morning? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm glad we can still see a God that can take a drunkard and save him and clean him up and make him a church member, make him a deacon of the church, make him a Sunday school teacher, make him a preacher. God can clean up the dope addict and do the same. Or whatever that sin might be that separate us from God. I can see him all around this morning. I can see him, how he's worked in some of your lives. Hey, the sinner's not seeing it. Romans chapter number 1. Oh, I wish I had time to deal with it this morning. But friend, the sinners are not seeing it today. I mean, the Bible says in the book of Romans that even nature itself teaches us there is a God. And they can't see it. They can't see it. They can't see it. Why? Because of a wicked heart this morning, my friend. So, boy, there's some benefits to this thing. We can see God. The pure in heart can see God today. The evidence of God all around us, among us. That's the delight of the redeemed. But not only can we see him today, but one day. Oh, one day. One day, and I don't believe it can be very long. One day we're going to see him as the glorified Son of God, our Savior, the one who died on Calvary, the one who rose again, the one who ascended back to the Father to make intercession for you and I, to be our great high priest. One day, one day, one day, and it may not be long, we'll get to see Jesus as he is this morning, my friend. Not only will we get to see him, but also the delight of the redeemed is not only getting to see him, but is getting to be with him in his presence. I still believe there's a place called heaven today. And it's occupied by God the Father and God the Son and all the saints that have went on before us. Oh, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. But I'm glad I can see evidence of him now. Friend, are you in a dilemma this morning? The dilemma is this: you have a choice to make. You can continue on your own self-will. You can continue creating your own wages and following the direction of your own wicked heart.
Or you can let the divine intervention of God butt in, because he's paid the price. And thank God he's paid the price. He's pursuing the sinner, and he pardons the sinner. Have you ever heard people testify that when they got saved, when they walked out, the trees were so much greener, sky was so much bluer? You know what happened, don't you? Their eyes were opened to the God of the Bible. Friend, I wonder, has he become real to you? If not, you're in a dilemma this morning. And if you're here as a Christian and your life's not what it should be today, you've let some... Hey, listen, we all can let some things come in, creep in. Old devil's good at what he does. Could you really say today before God that you have a clean heart? Maybe that's the reason you look so sad. Maybe that's the reason that you've lost that joy. Maybe it's the reason you've lost that shout. And as we've said, as we've preached through these series of messages, that sometimes maybe it's not the things that we've done, but maybe sometimes it's the things we didn't do that we should have, according to the book of James. Happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of looking for him to show up around this week. I'm looking for him to. I don't know what you're looking for, but I'm looking for God to show up. Because I will tell you, the only thing that'll matter is God showing up. And I don't want you to miss it. I want you to be here for it. Because we need God to show up. We need to see him. We need to look upon him. We need to focus on him. But the only way that's going to happen is to get pure in heart, clean in heart. How is it with you this morning? Is there a dilemma? Well, if there's a dilemma in your heart right now, let me say God's divine intervention is butting in. But it's up to you what you do with him. Let's stand to our feet all over the building. Brother Scotty, come get us a song. Father, we love you today. We thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you this morning for the great gift of salvation. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be able to stand here in this pulpit, Lord, here on this Sunday morning, and try to proclaim the truths of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray this morning that in the stillness of this service, that the Holy Spirit of God right now is walking up and down every pew. I pray that you're searching every heart. And I pray this morning, if there's anyone here today, first of all, that does not know you today in a free pardon of sin. Today they've been going and operating within their own self-will, but they also need to see the wages and the wickedness within their own heart and the results. There's a dilemma. I pray today, Father, that your divine intervention would butt in. Father, I pray you'd speak to their heart, bring them to the realization today, Father, of their need of you. And then if there's Christians here today, that they just know that there's some things in their life right now that does not need to be there in their heart, that they've not truly come and let you cleanse that and wipe it away. I'm glad that you paid for our sin debt, past, present, and future on the cross. But also realize today that we got to keep our lives and our hearts right and in tune with you. So I pray this morning we yield the invitation. Father, it's always yours anyhow. That, Lord, that you would move and you would speak. And if there's anyone here today that needs to come, that, Lord, they would be obedient and that they would come. We do love you. Thank you for loving us. In Christ's name, amen.